This week's parasha is Shalach Lecha. I am Rabbi Judith Hauptman, the E. Billy Ivry Professor of Talmud and Rabbinic Culture Emerita at the Jewish Theological Seminary. The Power of One. This week's parasha, Shalach Lecha, opens with a famous episode of 12 scouts going on a reconnaissance mission to the land of Israel. As most of us know the story, upon their return, 10 of them recommend returning to Egypt, whereas just 2, Joshua and Caleb, encourage the Israelites to continue their journey to the Promised Land. When we look at the verses of chapter 13, we discover that that is not exactly what they say. According to Numbers 13:27-28, when the scouts returned from their trip, they said to Moshe, "We came to the land you sent us to. It does indeed flow with milk and honey. However, the people who inhabit the country are powerful." The Torah continues and says that Caleb hushed the people before Moses, saying, "Let us by all means go up," verse 30. The other 11 scouts refused to be persuaded by Caleb and respond, "We cannot attack that people, for it is stronger than we," verse 31. The outcome is clear. The scouts praise the land of Israel, but fear its people. They will not press forward. The surprising feature of these verses is that, according to them, it is Caleb alone who stands up to the crowd of naysayers. But weren't most of us taught in Hebrew school that it was both Joshua and Caleb who stood up to the other 10? What are we to make of this inconsistency? Let's turn to the commentary on these verses in the Tosefta, a collection parallel to the Mishnah. Banu el haaretz asher shlachtanu, amar Yehoshua. Kalev amar, alo na'aleh v'yarashnu ota. Miraglim amru, efes ki az ha'am hayoshev ba'aretz. Shlosha devarim ze b'tzad ze, misha amar ze, lo amar ze, umisha amar ze, lo amar ze. "We came to the land you sent us to," said Joshua, verse 27. Caleb said, "Let us by all means go up, and we shall gain possession of it," verse 30. The scouts said, "However, the people who inhabit the country are powerful," verse 28. Three statements, one next to the other. The one who said this did not say that, and the one who said that did not say this. Tosefta Sota, 9:2. The rabbis of the Tosefta present their own understanding of these verses. They claim that it was not the 11 scouts who said, "We came to the land you sent us to," verse 27, but Joshua alone who said those words. And it was the other 10 scouts, not including Caleb, who went on to say, "However, the people there are powerful," verse 28, to which Caleb responded, "Let us by all means go up, and we shall gain possession of it," verse 30. According to this reading, not one, but 2 scouts, Caleb and also Joshua, encouraged the people to continue the journey and overcome the obstacles. It is evident that the rabbis are not interpreting the text according to the simple meaning of the words. They claim that there are 3 speakers, Caleb, the people, and Joshua, and not just 2, as the verses suggest. Why do they introduce Joshua into a text that makes absolutely no mention of him? Why do they allow him to act as bravely as Caleb? To arrive at an answer, let's read the continuation of the episode in chapter 14. After the people refused to go up to the land, both Caleb and Joshua tried to quell the rebellion against Moshe, verse 6. They fail. God then says that whereas the rest of the Exodus generation will die in the desert, Caleb alone will survive and enter the land because, quote, "he was imbued with a different spirit and remained loyal to me," end quote, verse 24. Note that the verse does not mention that Joshua too will survive. Later in the chapter, however, God does say that Joshua too will enter the land, verse 30. In addition, a verse in Deuteronomy 1:36 again says that God will allow only Caleb of the Exodus generation to to reach the promised land. We thus see that three verses, Numbers 13:30 and 14:24 and Deuteronomy 1:36, speak of Caleb alone resisting the scouts' report and surviving the 40-year trek in the desert. The reason that he alone is mentioned is that only he took on all 11 scouts and tried to get them to change their minds. Joshua did not join him in that noble attempt. What we learned as children, that both Joshua and Caleb opposed the other 10 scouts, is not the literal meaning of the verses. The rabbis of the Tosefta wanted to shine a positive light on Moshe's future successor. Joshua, too, they held, must have believed that the people could triumph over the land's giant inhabitants. And so they interpolated Joshua into the story. It is also likely that the rabbis wanted to make the episodes of chapters 13 and 14 align with each other. Since Joshua joined Caleb in trying to stop the rebellion in chapter 14, the rabbis reasoned that he must have done the same in chapter 13, even though the Torah does not say so. They thus portray Joshua, like Caleb, as someone with great faith in God and no fear of the people. To my mind, there is a downside to the rabbi's addition of Joshua to chapter 13. The aggrandizement of Joshua leads to the diminution of Caleb. He becomes merely a sidekick of Joshua, rather than the hero the verses suggest that he is. Contemporary Bible scholars, in trying to solve the problem of the silent Joshua in chapter 13, claim that chapters 13 and 14 are two versions of the same story, a not uncommon occurrence in the Bible, with one told from Caleb's perspective, chapter 13, and the other from Joshua's, chapter 14. They view chapter 13 as the more reliable version, as I have been suggesting here. Were it not for the Tosefta, I don't think I would have noticed the absence of Joshua in Numbers 13. Like so many others, I have always read that chapter through the eyes of the rabbis. But by looking carefully at the verses themselves, I realize that the plain sense meaning of the Torah is that Caleb understood that the other scouts were misguided, foresaw the dire consequences of their stance, and bravely tried to change their minds. True, he did not succeed, but he made a valiant attempt. I understand the quandary in which the rabbis found themselves. I sympathize with their reading Joshua into the text of chapter 13, but for me, the challenge is to return Caleb to his rightful place in Jewish history, for he grasped the power of one. No longer should he be an unsung hero, nor should the importance of standing up for what is right, even if you must do so alone, be forgotten.
If you enjoy this program, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and discover JTS's other series by visiting jtsa.edu/podcasts. To learn with JTS faculty in live online classes, visit jtsa.edu/online. And you can get in touch with us by emailing onlinelearning@jtsa.edu. Thanks for listening.